Thank you, Paul, for that kind introduction. It is a blessing to be here and feels like coming home. So we've been gone for over a year, and so if I get a little sentimental or emotional, you can understand why. Precious memories. One just came to me as Paul paused before his prayer. One Sunday morning, I said, let's all just be quiet for a few moments. Close our eyes and be quiet, and let's hear what God says. And a dear demented resident in the back said, he says hi. Just one story. But that's what God, he says hi. And I say hi, too. It's good to be here. And I don't know some of you. I'd like to see the campers. All you campers, stand up, please. It's good to see that God's work is continuing to go on, and these halls are getting cleaned, and the beds and all the spider webs and the 3,000 windows and all that good stuff. God bless you. You may be seated. All right, I'd like to see all the Essers who came since I left. Please stand. All right. God bless you for coming. You may be seated. All right. God bless you. I have our family picture here is my wife, Caroline, and our son, Travis. He's here tonight, and his twin brother, Tristan, on the other side with his wife, Emily, and their child that Grandma's holding, and Derek there in the back. Some of you saw him last evening. So that's us. We live south of town here a little ways in out in paradise. But tonight I want to talk about you. I'm one of you too. But we are children of God. We don't become children of God without becoming like children. And now we are sons and daughters of God. I want that fact to soak in to our heads and our hearts tonight. Sons and daughters of God. And especially tonight, I want to challenge you on, do you actually believe it? Do you believe that? Young lady from Ohio, it's good to see you back. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Paige.
Paige, yes. Paige, do you believe that? That you are God's daughter? I think you do. I don't know how well you believe it, but I'm convinced you believe it. How well do you believe it? How completely do you believe it? Do you really believe it? That you are God's son or daughter? Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll be reading in the New King James Version. You can follow along in your Bible, or I'll put it up here on the wall too, if you prefer that way. Second Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read verses 11 through chapter 7, verse 1. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. Paul was saying, I'm talking to you as if you were my own children. And I'm doing that tonight too. I have adopted many young people, and I talk to them as if they're my own children.
I let them go home to their previous parents too. But I beg of you to open your hearts tonight to what God has for you. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. There's no one that can restrict you. But you can be restricted by yourself. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Be teachable. Don't let something, a wall that you've constructed in front of yourself, hold you back. Knock it down, whatever it takes. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, of the living God, as God has said. And these quotes are from four different places in the Old Testament. It's just gathering here. It's, the theme is throughout the whole Old Testament. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be, read this verse with me, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, do you have this promise in your heart, under your belt, stuck in your mind? Therefore, having these promises, beloved. Paul, he was such an affectionate father. Although he never married.
Can you imagine? Wonder what was wrong with him. He never married.
Nothing. He was a father. He was such an affectionate father to Timothy and many others. And he says, beloved, therefore, having these precious promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit, perfecting holiness or perfecting set apartness in the fear of God, being set apart. Being sacred, where we are special, sacred, set apart for God in the fear of God, because He is our Father. I don't know what you feel when I say Father. Most of you have some warm feelings when I say Father. Some of you have had hurtful fathers. All of you have had imperfect fathers. But as I have become a father, and the longer I am a father, the more I realize how perfect my Heavenly Father is. And I see the imperfections of my earthly father, even though I had a good earthly father. He pointed me to my Heavenly Father. And the ways in which he was Good, he pointed me to my heavenly Father. And the ways that he didn't cut fatherhood very well, he drove me to my heavenly Father. And it can be the same way for you. Either way, you're a winner. You get to your heavenly Father. And that's the whole purpose of having earthly fathers, whether they drive you to him or point you to him. That's our heavenly Father. And God started us out like this. He started the first one of us, his name was Adam. You knew that, didn't you? The first one of us, his name was Adam, and he had a wife. Eventually, after he asked God for it, he had a wife. Her name was Eve. And the Bible calls Adam the son of God. And everything was perfect. Everything was just right. He had a perfect relationship with his wife. She never misunderstood him. He understood her. It was perfect. And as he had it made. And as one person said, I read recently, he said, Adam had it made. All he had to do was transplant flowers daily as Eve desired. That's all he had to do. But Satan entered the picture. And he told Adam and Eve a lie. He told them, you can be anything you want to be. You can even be God. He knew better. He tried that himself and got kicked out of heaven. But he brought that lie to earth. You can be anything you want to be. You don't have to fit the parameters that God designed for you. And that lie still prevails today, all the way up until today. The facts don't matter. You can identify whatever you want to identify as. That same lie. Truth rests in you. That's Satan's lie. I have to laugh when I see the Arkansas truck, noisy, blowing black smoke. I don't like the noise. I don't like the black smoke. But I like the little sticker in the window that says, I identify as a Prius. Take that, you political liberals. You can identify whatever you want as whatever you want. That's Satan's lie. The truth of God is you find the most satisfaction and freedom in being who God created you to be. The most joy. But Satan came and lied, and we, humanity, we sold ourselves to that lie. And we estranged ourselves from our loving, perfect Heavenly Father. And reduced ourselves to serving an abusive stepfather. Oh, that's way too respectful for Satan. Way too respectful for Satan. He is terrible. He does not care. He is out to destroy. And to make matters worse, we now have a fallen nature. And Satan, part of his deception is to bring us into bondage to the dictates of ourselves, our flesh. So Satan uses a dictator, which is our flesh. And we are enslaved to our lower nature. And we think,
wow, this is just me. This is what I create. Can I work and I be me?
But it brings us into bondage. That self-centeredness, that self-focus brings us into bondage. And now, as Romans 7 says, I can't do the things I would. We're not free to do the things we were created to do. And every one of us needs to come to that realization. Picture yourself as an adolescent, 12, 13 years old, and you are coming to the realization. It may be suddenly, it may be gradually, but you are waking up and finding yourself in a strange land. You are away from your true family. You don't even understand the language that's spoken around you. You are completely lost. You don't know where you are. And you don't even have the language to ask for help from the people around you. You are lost. You are in a strange land. You are away from your father. You are away from love. You are lost and you are trapped, and they are using you as a slave where you are. That's you coming to the age of accountability, where you realize you are separated from your Heavenly Father. The only way to get back to Him is by taking full responsibility. Even though it feels like it's not your fault that you're waking up in a strange land, separated from your loving Father. Even though it feels like it's not your fault, we need to take full responsibility that we are where we are because we chose to be there. And we cry out to God in repentance and brokenness. And He will come and find us and redeem us and buy us back and make us His sons and daughters. That's the promise. That's the promise. Come out from among them. Well, the command is, be open. I talked about that one. Be open. Come out from among them. Be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing. Cleanse yourselves. And here's the promise. I will be a father. I will be a father to you. I will redeem you. I will adopt you as my very own. I sent my son to show you how to be a son. Tonight, we want to talk about believing that promise. Do you believe it? How you live tells you and everyone else how well you believe it. Read this verse with me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And then John 1:12. It's talking about how He came into His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. That's the promise. We believe in His name and we because we believe in him, we do what he says, and we can become the children of God. That's the promise. Children of the promise. In the Old Testament, he often said to his people, I have set before you life and death. God told the children of Israel, if you follow me, if you serve me, if you do what I say, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be thriving. You're going to be prosperous. And you're going to live. You're going to have long life. If you don't, there will be destruction. You are choosing death. And over, he said, I've set before you life and death. And then he says his heart for them. He says, therefore, choose life. That's a no-brainer. Choose life. And that's what I'm here to say, too. Choose life. Choose life. God is the giver of life. Satan wants death. It is because of sin that we have death and destruction. That's what he is about. But what does it take to get life? It's not how you think it might be. And this is not new concepts to you, but I just want to emphasize it in the way I can emphasize it. So, how do you choose life? Here's a concept that is spoken of 6 times in the 4 Gospels. And it's upside down to our tendency. Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We naturally cling to our life. We cling to our will. We cling to ourself. We cling to our ideas. We cling to our agendas. We cling to our control of life. Jesus says, if you do that, you're killing yourself. And he says that what you need to do is decide to die. That's what he said. If you want to follow me, you turn from your selfish ways. What happens when you turn from what you want to do? It feels like, this is killing me. Yeah. Yeah. When you turn from what you want to do, it's like, this is killing me. That's what Jesus said. Take up your cross. What's a cross for? What is a cross for in the Roman times? Tell me. It's not a trick question. What's a cross for?
Death.
Yes. So if you take up your cross, what's that cross for you? Death. If you take up your cross, you're choosing to die. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you want to live, then you need to choose to die. That's what he said. And if this was not made clear to you when you were baptized, I am very sorry. Because this is what it's all about. You will not have resurrection power to be who you are called to be. You will not be able to be the sons and daughters of God if you don't choose to die. And it's not a bullet to the head, quick death, where you don't know what happened. No, it's a daily process. I can't explain it, but I've experienced it, and you've experienced it too, and you can experience it more. As you let go, you're happier. As you forgive, you're freer. As you die to self, you're living larger. That's how it works. That's how it works. In fact, Jesus said, you can't even follow me if you don't decide to do that. You can't even be my disciple if you don't decide to do that. So that's what I beg of you. Choose to die. If you haven't clearly done that, get alone tonight and decide that. Tell someone. Tell God and tell those around you what you're deciding to do. Tell those in authority over you what you've done. I have set before you life and death. Choose life. Jesus says, I promise. I promise. Resurrection life. Resurrection power. Victory, freedom. I promise you will be my sons and my daughter. Jesus said. Now, we hear people say that. I promise. Why do people say that? I promise. Tell me, why do people say I promise?
To give assurance of their word.
Okay. Why do we need assurance of the word? Well, when people say it, it's maybe they don't always say the truth, and so they have to say, I promise. But assuming somebody is a truthful person, why would they say, I promise? Why do we need assurance?
To ensure trust.
To ensure trust? Yeah. Why do we need trust? I want you to remember this point, so I'm okay with taking time on it. Okay, you're close. We're skeptical. People, a person says, and God says, I promise, because it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. And I want you to know that you're normal if this is hard to believe. And in your daily life, if this is hard to believe. And in your struggles, if this is hard to believe. People say, I promise for something that's hard to believe. And that we are the sons and daughters of God, that is hard to believe. That God redeems us and forgives our sins completely and washes us completely clean and has created us in image and is now conforming us to the image of His dear Son, the Son of His love. He's conforming us to that image. Let's choose to believe it and let's live like it. Having these promises, let's live like it. All right. Do you believe it? Do you live like it? The way you live tells yourself and others how well you believe it. Let's just read these out loud together. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. If you believe that you are the son or daughter of God. You will live by the Spirit, and you will not walk after the flesh. That's how you know it, that you are a son or daughter of God. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God, and they call Him Daddy, Father. And they know that they are heirs. Everything that God has is theirs. Okay? Can you remember what heirs means? Everything that God has is theirs. Do you believe that? Do you walk around like the rich kid? Driving Dad's BMW? Living in His world? If you're not sure how big God is, go sit beside the ocean for half a day. Go climb a tall mountain and find out how big God is. You're His daughter. You're His son. And you inherit everything He has. All the spiritual blessings that He has. But you have to choose to die. It's not yours if you don't do it His way. Do you believe it? Do you live like it? All right, the next one, Hebrews 12:5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. If you believe that you are God's son, you will not let chastening discourage you. You will embrace chastening. You will embrace correction. Whether it comes, wherever it comes from. How can I improve? How can I grow? I know I'm a son of God. I know I'm a daughter of God. I know I have everything going for me, but I know that I need to keep growing. How can I grow? Tell me. And you're the most teachable people on earth. Doesn't matter who's telling you, you need to change. You're teachable. That's what sons and daughters of God are like. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he? Is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Do you believe it? Do you embrace chastening? If you don't embrace chastening, correction, if you aren't trained and exercised by it, you don't believe very well that you are a son and daughter of God. All right, John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How well do you keep his commandments? How well do you have his commandments? It says he who has his commandments. Do you have his commandments? How do you get his commandments? By reading. Do you know how to read? Most of you do. Sadly, reading is going downhill in our churches. That breaks my heart. Do you read His commandments? Do you have His commandments? And do you keep them? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. You can't keep his word if you don't have it, if you haven't listened carefully or read them thoroughly. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Are you at home with your Father? I mean, really at home with him. if you're not, if you're still running around trying to find satisfaction, trying to find fulfillment in other places other than being at home with Him or in the secret place with Him, I question how well you believe that you are His son or His daughter. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. If you believe that you are a son of God, then you're going to be willing and bold enough to walk into situations that are not peaceful and make peace. Notice it doesn't say peacekeepers. Peacekeepers are wimps. They want to do everything they can to keep peace. Well, really, there isn't peace, but they think it is. But a peacemaker is a brave person, one who is okay with walking into conflict in love and doing what he can with the truth and love to make peace. Make peace. If you believe you are a son of God or a daughter of God and He's got you, you can walk right into hostile environment because you're secure. You know He's got you. You know He'll take care of you. You know He's got your back, and if you make a mistake, He can redeem that too. And you can walk into any kind of situation, however tough it is, without fear, or if you have feelings of fear, you move into it anyway because you know who you are and you can be an instrument to make peace. Make peace. If you believe you're a son or daughter of God, you can be that kind of person. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in it. If you know and believe you're a son or daughter of God, you're going to be okay with being seen, with being bright, with shining, because you know how to give the glory to God. You're not afraid of being called show-off or proud, because it's about your Father and you know it. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you believe you are a son or daughter of God, you don't have to worry about anything. And you will be seeking the kingdom of God, knowing He will take care of you. So the question is, do you believe? Do you live like it? The way you live tells how well you believe it. Because God is my Father, I am at a great advantage. You are the most advantaged and privileged people on earth. I have a Father who is God. I want you to think about that. I have a Father who is God. Who is God. Can you say that with me? I have a Father who is God. Say that. I have a Father who is God. God. It's your dad. God. It's not just a God. No. It's not like, what are the earth's gods? Okay, your dad isn't LeBron James or, some other star that people kind of see. Well, President Trump, he's like a god to people. Hitler, you name it, famous people. It's like people are trusting in them. For something, but that's not the kind of God. This is God. God. I have a Father who is God. My Father. No, mine. Yours too. I'll let you claim Him too. I want you to claim Him. I want you to be my brothers and sisters. But God, my Father is God. And because God is my Father, I am predestined, as Romans 8:29 says, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Because God is my Father, I am loved perfectly. He always does what's best for me. He always knows what's best for me. And He always has the power to carry out what's best for me. Your dad, he wanted what's best for you, but he wasn't always right. He didn't always know what's best. And even if he knew what was best for you, he didn't always have the power to make it happen. But God is God. He knows exactly what's best for you, and he has the power to carry it out. That's your dad. My dad is bigger than... Oh, no, he's your dad. He's your dad, too. He is the best. The best. I'm loved perfectly. He designed me. He even designed my path. And here's where I trip up sometimes. You know the dumb stuff that happens to me throughout the day. Just the dumbest stuff. Not big, not terrible, but just dumb. Why did that have to happen to me? I mean, I could have been so much farther along in my work, or I could have been this and on and on and on, but just... God lets the dumbest things happen to me. Or He has me work with the dumbest people. You know, God knows what's best for you. He knows. He loves you. He is God. He's got you. Because God is my Father, I never need to worry about anything. And Dad is always home. He's never preoccupied. He's never asleep. You know, and He's got the whole scoop on everything. In these days, you hear this here, you hear this there, and you don't know what to believe. Whether it's about health or politics or what's happening, you don't know what to believe. This person says this, this person says this. But, you know, God has the whole scoop. God has the whole, He's the only one that has the whole scoop on everything. He knows. You don't even need to have the whole scoop on it. We think we have to know. Well, we have to decide, you know, who's right and who's wrong. No, we don't. We can follow Jesus because God is our Father and He has the whole scoop on everything, and He's going to one day set all wrongs right. And we just want to be identified with Him. That's our job. He knows my limitations. He knows your limitations. He knows your weaknesses. He also won't let you get away with your excuses. He can hold you accountable to reach your goals. There is, because God is my Father, I have no need to doubt my place in the family. I belong. And nobody can push me out of the family either. I don't have to protect my turf in the least. I've got a place. Because God is my Father, I don't need to establish my identity. He is my identity. I don't need to promote my identity. I don't need to protect it. I can let go of self-protecting. I can let go of trying to control others to make life come out right for me. I'm able, because God is my Father, I'm able to choose to do what's right. I always have the freedom to choose, and nobody can stop me. If you believe God is your Father, then no one can stop you from making right choices. Nobody can tie you down. Nobody can chain you up. Nobody can control you. Nobody can hold you back. We're tempted with that. Well, so-and-so, I could be, if so-and-so would soon, then I can, and no. We can always love, and I want to talk more about that later. We can always be victors, always be free to be who God has called us to be. Always. Not necessarily everything we want, but we can be what God is calling us to be. Will you believe the promise? All right, let me close with this question. How does God feel about his sons and daughters? How does God feel about you? What are his feelings towards you? What does he say about you when he introduces you? Well, when he introduced Jesus, the Son of his love, this is what he said. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's what he said about Jesus. And that's what he says about you. "This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Now let me ask you a question. Why didn't Jesus say, "This is my perfect, likable son, who has never disappointed me"? He could have. He could have said that about Jesus. He could have said, "This is my perfect, likable son who has never disappointed me." He could have said that about Jesus. But I believe Jesus, God the Father, said about Jesus the way he feels about you and I. And I beg of you to stop trying to squeeze yourself into this. That's not you. Stop pretending and stop trying to be that. But humble yourself and treasure being loved more than being liked. In order to be liked, you have to be perfect. You have to make everybody happy, and that's an impossibility. But if you are the daughter or the son who God created you to be, and you take up your cross and you confess your sins and you embrace who you are, complete with your failures and weaknesses and limitations, and you receive his forgiveness, his love through his forgiveness and grace, you are his beloved son and daughter. And you have disappointed him. I've disappointed my dad. My children have disappointed me. I've disappointed my heavenly Father, and so have you. But I am going to live in ways that please him. I'm going to do my best to live in ways that please him. And I'm going to do my best to make my best get better. If I do that, if I'm committed to do my best, and I'm committed to working on my best becoming better, I hear people say, "Well, all you have to do is do your best." No, that's not true. You need to do your best, but you need to also work on your best to get better. If you're committed to that, relax. You're teachable, you're humble, you're okay with making mistakes. Your identity is a son of God. Watch how you talk to me anyway. You know, after the service, I want you to come talk to me, but be careful how you talk to me, because I'm God's son. And I need to be careful how I talk to you, because you're his son and daughter.
This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. That's how God introduces you to others. That's how he introduced his son Jesus to the world. Humble yourself. Know you need his love. Receive his love, his forgiveness. Live to please God, whatever it costs you. Because you believe he is your father and he deserves your loyalty and you have a place in the family. I just want to give this invitation. If you have never chosen to act upon the promise, this promise of repentance, of choosing to die so that you can live and be his sons and daughters. If you've never chosen that, please do that tonight. There's many people here that would love to pray with you if you need somebody to pray with. Probably the person sitting right beside you. If you have never chosen that, made a point of choosing to take up your cross and follow Jesus so that you can live as a son or daughter of his, so you can be that. Don't spend one more night estranged from your father in that strange land, in bondage, in slavery under that dictator of self who is cahoots with the devil. And I want to invite all of you to say, I am God's beloved son. I am God's beloved daughter. I'm going to ask all of you to stand. And let's just close our eyes. And I don't want you to listen to the person beside you. I want you to listen to the sound of your own voice. Close your eyes, and when I say, we're going to say, I am God's beloved son. Some of you are going to say son. Some of you are going to say daughter. Embrace whichever you are. Embrace that. And if you cannot say it from your heart, don't say it. But do something about it. But tonight, those of you who believe it and just want to believe it more thoroughly, say it with me. I am God's beloved son. Again, I am God's beloved son. One more time. I am God's beloved son. And now let's say, I will live to please him. If you can say this from your heart, please do this. I will live to please him. Thank you for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father and for redeeming us, buying us back, cleansing us as we have chosen to cleanse ourselves and repent. As we have chosen to take up our cross and follow you. And as we have chosen to believe the promise. You have established our place in the family. And you have made your home with us. And we can be at home with you. God, touch each heart here tonight that is really struggling to believe that. And move among us that we would live every day in this belief. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just